You were created for greatness. There's a hero hiding somewhere inside of you. At some point in your life, you truly believed that. That's because it's true. God made you to be great, and He has a plan for you to be a hero on a team of heroes. Come, find the path to your greatness.
Welcome to Week 1 of The Journey. My name is Kyle. This is Crossroads. We believe that you were born for adventure, and we exist to guide and equip you on that adventure. Now, question right off the bat. Do you want to be a hero? Reminds me of that song from Frozen, you know, the one where it's like, do you want to build a snowman? Whatever. Anyway, the point is, you were designed for greatness. But the world says there's a path to get there. There's a way that you get there. Things you should do to get to greatness. Jesus has a different path. Now, today, our senior pastor, Brian Tone, is going to be unpacking all of that for us. Spoiler alert, the way to greatness is not up. It's about going down.
They want you to behave, to settle in, settle down, and dear God, not make any waves. They want you to be average and build a nice, sensible house on Normal Street. They want you to stay inside, plugged in and numbed out in your digital pixel slab. They want you to dream small, think tiny, and most of all, behave yourself. They want you to know your place and stay there. But you weren't born for average. You weren't made for settling. You weren't created to watch other people go on adventures, wait for other people to jump into action and sit by and consume until you die. You were created to make waves and walk on them. You were born to find the road to greatness and travel every curve on it. This is the journey there, the path to greatness. It's not what you've been told. There are five forks in the road, five distinct choices you must make. This journey will walk you to each, but the choice will be yours.
No matter who you are, no matter what you've done or not done, you're meant for more. You can be great. You can be heroic. One of the more reluctant heroes in our time is the great Shrek. Remember Shrek? Come along now, donkey. You know, Shrek didn't want to be a hero, but he actually ended up being a hero. I use the word hero very tentatively because we're not talking about having our limbs blown off or doing something that all of the world knows about. In fact, when you talk to people who are legitimate physical heroes, Medal of Honor recipients, first responders who rush into a burning building or some such thing, all of them are uncomfortable with the word hero. They say again and again, I was just doing my job. That's the thing. And here's the thing. The people who are the heroes of the faith, they were just doing their job too. They were simply following what God wanted, and then as a result, they ended up being heroes. Jesus says in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, 1, he says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You might think that Jesus would say, whoa, what are you doing wanting to be great? No one should want to be great. It should all be equalsies. It should all be samesies, fairsies. Everyone does the same minimum amount of work and everyone gets exactly the same. He doesn't say that. He goes on to say, hey, to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to humble yourself like a child. But to be clear, Jesus is pro you being great so long as you understand what it means to be a hero inside of God's eyes. And a hero doesn't mean being a celebrity. There's two different aspects there. Is an actor who memorizes lines that somebody else wrote and then they just recite them and they earn millions of dollars, are they a hero? No. They're a celebrity. Maybe they're a hero for some other reason, not because of that. Is a social media influencer, somebody who has hundreds of thousands of followers and makes hundreds of thousands of dollars endorsing products, are they a hero? No. They're a celebrity. They might be heroic in some other way, but that doesn't make somebody a hero. If you party like a rock star, What are you? You're a rock star. That's all you are. You're a rock star. You're not a hero. This is really important to understand that many of us think that being well-known is the goal. That's what it means to be great. That's what it means to be a hero. No, that's not true. It's not true at all. Heroes and great people can be well-known. They can be celebrities. But celebrity is never the goal, and celebrity never defines whether or not you are heroic. Jesus himself was great. He was a hero, and he was a celebrity, at least according to Psychology Today. It says this, regardless of whether you believe in the divinity of Jesus of Nazareth, there is no denying his unparalleled impact on Western thought and culture. Jesus is the spiritual leader and hero to more than 2 billion people around the world. Therefore, he has a level of celebrity that came with him. In a moment, I'm going to talk about Jewish mothers. I know it sounds weird, but it'll make much more sense after this.
Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
It's pretty well documented that those who are Jewish are doing way above the mean, way above the average in terms of overall economic impact. The number of billionaires and millionaires that are in our country or in the world far outpaces the percentage of other nationalities. If you go to New York City, the amount of real estate that's held by the Jewish community is really astounding. I heard a speaker talk about this one time, and he said, You want to know why we're so successful? He said, it's because of our Jewish mothers. That's why. I don't know that. I don't have a Jewish mother, but here we have in that story, a Jewish mom is going to Jesus and saying, "Hey, my sons, I want them to sit on your right and on your left. I want them to be great." That's what was great was. If Jesus was in heaven, he was in the kingdom of God, the people closest to him, because he is the greatest, would be greater than others. And again, you would think Jesus would say, "What are you talking about? No, you're not asking the right question." He doesn't say that. Instead, he again and again redefines exactly what it means to be great. Matthew 23:11, he says, "The greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." He wants us to be great. Just a matter of what form of greatness and how fast and how far are you going after it. Three things about heroes. Heroes are submitted. Heroes submit themselves to God and they serve others. That's what it means to be submitted. Man, I read this amazing quote recently. It said this, "God doesn't want you to try harder. He wants you to give up. He wants you to surrender. He wants you to turn to him and accept the freedom and adventure he offers." Brilliant. Oh, that's my book, Welcome to the Revolution by Brian Tome, available on Amazon right now. That's what God wants. He wants you to give up. He wants you to submit to him. That's how you become great, because when we do that, we also start serving others. And we all know those are the folks who are heroes, those who have selflessly served other people. I've gone down the rabbit hole looking at modern day heroes, who it is, who's gotten Medal of Recipient awards and that kind of thing. And one thing that happens again and again and again is they don't like to call themselves heroes. They are, but they don't like to call themselves heroes. They say things like, I'm just doing my job. One person is Travis Mills. He was serving in Afghanistan. He had his legs and his arms taken off. He now walks around with like two kind of prosthetic pegs on his legs, very short. And he has one prosthetic arm that he can use. And here's what he says. He says, I'm just a man with scars living life to the fullest and best I know how. And he doesn't like to be called a hero. He is one, doesn't like to be called one. You know who he says a hero is? He says, the true hero, the only hero I know, is my wife. Because when he came back from Afghanistan, as he was half the man he was before, physically half the man, he said to his bride, this is probably the time for you to get out. You need to go off, you need to have a life, and it shouldn't be me, because this is going to be a rough, rough go. Tried to release her, and she said, absolutely not, staying. That's his hero. Why? Because she submitted to the relationship, and she's serving him. That's who great people are. That's what great people do. Whenever you can, whenever the opportunity is. Oh, gosh, a couple months ago, I was coming into work, and as I was coming in, I saw an older Toyota car that was broken down the side of the road, and there was a kid who was pushing the car. And I've been in that situation many times, driven old cars, and they break down. So I immediately had a bit of a heart for it. And actually, what I felt was, if that was me, Jesus would stop for me. If that was me, Jesus would serve me. So I pulled over, thinking I might be a little late for my meeting. That's okay. Pulled over, put my hazards on, went back. While I was going back, there was another guy in a van who was thinking the same thing. And so now there's two guys converging on this car. And then it started to see what was happening. I'm a white guy. He's a white guy. And we have two African-American teenagers that are here in this vehicle. I don't know if you know a lot. There's a lot of African-Americans who do not have a lot of positive interactions with white people in pickup trucks and vans. And I felt like, ooh, this is now gone. This has deeper stakes with it right now. We came up to these kids and asked them how they're doing. Apparently ran out of gas. Heart went out to them. And we said, okay, we'll just steer and we'll push you over. And they were kids. They didn't know all about mechanics of a car. They weren't turning over where they could because the engine wouldn't start. So the power steering was off. They just, you know, so we're trying to get the steering wheel turned and everything. We get it over. We stop. And I said, you guys okay? You guys have money for gas? I said, yes, we do. I said, you okay to get the gas station? There's one right over there, but I'm happy to take you if you need. They said, no, we'll get there. And I wasn't sure they had money. I said, are you sure? You sure you have money? Because I can give you money if you need some gas. And they said, no, we're okay. I said, okay, great. So shook their hand and off we went. I didn't do that because I said, hey, this is going to be a great sermon illustration on week one of the journey called Heroes. No, I just wanted to serve somebody who was there. But I'll tell you this right now. I'm pretty sure those kids, looking back on what we did to help them and get them going that day, I'm pretty sure they viewed us as heroes. Anybody who serves you and submits to something that is greater than themselves is a legitimate hero that we love and that we need in our world. And our world needs and our world wants more people like you to be great, to be heroic. Heroes are submitted. Heroes are connected. They're connected. No one ever becomes a hero binging Netflix. Nobody ever becomes a hero having their introvert time on the couch. No problem binging Netflix. No problem having your introvert time on the couch. Just understand, it's not in those moments where you will be a hero. It's when you're connected with other people. Even the story that we're looking at right now with the disciples and the Jewish mother of James and John, they're all connected. They're hearing this. The disciples are like, wait a minute. You can't be asking that, because they're thinking to themselves, I wanted to ask that. Darn it. And I didn't ask it. I think that's what they're thinking. They're upset with it. Like, did this Jewish mother and James and John beat them to the punch because they weren't bold enough to actually ask this? They're seeing this and they're learning these things while they're connected. You're never going to get the next level unless you get connected. In this journey called Heroes, there's a cap. There's a cap to your greatness that you will attain to if this is your isolated solo thing that you're going to reflect on for 5 or 6 weeks. You got to get in a group. You got to get around other people to hear other people's story, them hear your story. You've got to do that. Heroes are always connected for no other reason. If you're not connected, then you don't have anybody to serve, let alone have new insights and new passions and new powers. Jesus wants you to be great, wants you to be a hero, and we do that when we're connected with him. He says in John chapter 14, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do, and greater works will he do. Jesus has a call for you to be great, do greater things. Are you preparing for that? Are you leaning into that? Do you know who you are? Do you know who or what you're submitted to? On the other side of a story we're going to show right now, I'm going to talk to you about what it means to get unlocked. Because we're going to hear how somebody is great, and we need to understand how all of us can in kind be unlocked.
We'll get back to Brian in just a minute, but first, this entire journey is only possible because of the generosity of everyday people just like you and just like me. If you're one of those generous givers to Crossroads, on behalf of everyone experiencing this right now, thank you for giving. Or if you want to become part of the community of generosity around here, you'll be joining thousands of people, my family included. You can do that by going to crossroads.net/give. Check out that story of one of the heroes in our community.
Hey, I'm Jay. I serve on the worship team, and I play guitar on the weekends. I was in bands from the time I was 15 till the time I was 30-ish. But I would say, like, that lifestyle of staying out in bars late, playing in bars, you know, drinking, partying, is not super conducive to, you know, being a great dad or being a great husband or getting up in the morning, you know, when your kid gets up and taking care of them. I definitely associate a lot of negativity and darkness with that kind of lifestyle. The direction that was pointing my life, and it wasn't the direction that I wanted to go. So ultimately I quit, sold all my gear, gave it away, you know, and that was it. But it wasn't until I kind of started coming to Crossroads and seeing music done in a different way that I started to kind of feel that pull again toward music. Our family had this incredible blessing where, like, these people showed up on our doorstep one day and wanted to buy our house. And, like, kind of in one fell swoop, we were out of our debt and we had a surplus. I had prayed to God, like, hey, this is an incredible blessing. What do you want me to do with this money? God said, like, mission trip. And then, like, the next day, there was a email from, like, I think it was the first Go Nicaragua trip. So I just signed up. So on the way down to Nicaragua, I happened to be seated on the plane next to Mike. And it turns out that he was worship leading that trip in Nicaragua that week.
Hi, my name is Mike, and I volunteer on the worship team. 2016, went on the first Go Nicaragua trip, and I remember I was working on lyrics for the songs that we were going to sing. And Jay was sitting next to me, and started asking me questions about the songs, how long I've been playing music, eventually invited him to come serve on the music team. I think the change in Jay from when I met him that first time, kind of seeing him step in to join the team, to use his gifts, really step into, like, the identity of who he is, to be who God called him to be.
I think the reason that I was hesitant was that I was still just rejecting that side of myself and pushing it down and pushing it away. I came to this realization that God had given me this gift and these talents, and maybe I had just been using them the wrong way. God completely redeemed that musical aspect of my life. But I would say the biggest thing is, in that time period that I started serving, I got baptized, and I was also able to baptize my wife. All because... Sorry. All because I said yes. What's up, man?
What's up?
How's
it
going? Good.
Just seeing how you've grown as a follower of Jesus, you have just grown exponentially by using your gifts to lead others in worship. You're always looking to build into people and to encourage them, and I think it's awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
That's a side of myself that I had pushed down for a long time, and it really wasn't until I met you on that plane that I started thinking about that this could be a possibility. From walking in there and having somebody like Mike, who was very invitational, to me, you model what it looks like to like serve through music. I never saw you say no. You always said yes. That was a huge inspiration to me because I was in that process of saying yes. It's everything I ever dreamed of when I was a young kid. It's the lights, it's the fog and all that. But it's really like knowing that you can be in a position where you're submitting yourself to His will. You know, everybody's been given a unique gift by God. And I think if you just think about what that gift is and how you can put it to work for His purposes, you just might be surprised at what He has in store for you.
Jay is a hero who's been unlocked. Heroes are unlocked. Joseph Campbell, who certainly coined or at least made the phrase the hero's journey very, very popular, he says this: "We must let go of the life we have planned so as to accept the one that is waiting for us. The old skin has to shed before the new one can come." Heroes are unlocked. Heroes aren't looking for the fantasy life that's going to make them well known. 0.08% of all high school football players will get to the NFL. 0.03% of all high school basketball players will get to the NBA. That's like nobody. That's like nothing. And even those ones that are there, they only last 1 or 2 years. And then oftentimes when they're done, they've made bad decisions. They have nothing financially to show for it. There's nothing heroic about that. You can be heroic and Jesus view you're great and be in the NBA and be in the NFL. But simply attaining something like that doesn't make it great. You've got to find out who you are. You've got to unlock who you are. And if you're not 6'5 and 250 pounds, you probably don't have a destiny as a professional athlete in those areas. But you do have a destiny in something that you could be great at. There is some way that God has prepared you to be great. But you've got to know what that is. You've got to get unlocked from it. Unlocked to do it. Hopefully you've gotten one of these journey guides or you're going to get one. This is the thing that takes us through this whole journey. It's a multi-prong thing. I'm giving you information now. We're going to try to have great creativity for you. We get in groups where we can sharpen one another, be connected with one another. And then we also do personal reflection work where we might be able to get unlocked. In the very first part of the first section of your guide, I just want to read it for you. It says this: "You'll experience a full, exhilarating life when you spend yourself on a worthy cause. But first, you need to discover what you've been given to spend. This week, you'll explore the way God made you and get a first taste of the bold, world-changing, and surprisingly joyful mission ahead of you." I love that line. Joyful. Mission ahead of you. Joyful. Being a hero isn't an arduous thing. Being great isn't painful necessarily. It's joyful because it's in line with who you are. I am stunned. The more I've submitted myself to God, the more I've connected with other folks, the more I've tried to have things inside of me that I didn't even know that were there get unlocked, or the more I've just unlocked myself from baggage and tradition and bad ideas I used to have and bad values I used to have or whatever it was, I am stunned by what God is doing in my life and has done. Utterly stunned. Every person who's on the path to heroism or greatness is always, I have been stunned. I would have never, ever, ever seen it coming. And I haven't arrived yet, by the way. I'm certainly not your model. I'm in this journey because I want more. And I know you do. I know you want great. No one wants to go go to the casket, their end of their life, and just say, man, well, I didn't make any huge mistakes that life. No one wants to go to the casket at the end of life and say, well, I'm really glad I read the Bible every once in a while. No one wants to go to their casket and say, well, I got a 3.0. That's what I did. You and I want to go to our casket because we had a great life, because our life mattered, because we were submitted to God, because we poured it out for other people, because we were connected with others, and we were unlocked to be the full version of who you and I are. That's what you're going to get this journey. Engage. Take it seriously. God, I ask you that you would continue to teach us, mold us, because we want more of you. We want more of the life that you want for us. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hey, songs can oftentimes drive home a deeper spiritual meaning to solidify something in us. That's what this one's going to do for you right now.
Game changer. The path to greatness modeled by Jesus isn't about striving to get up. It's about getting down. Heroes use their gifts to serve. Heroes use their gifts to help, and they don't do it alone. Next week on Crossroads, we have an exciting episode for you. And make sure you get the app. It's completely free, and you need it to do the journey. See you next week. Check this out.
Back in November 2019, I was church hopping. I went to a lot of churches. I felt like I didn't belong. And I threw my hands up in the air and said, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. So I'm sitting at my kitchen table, and I had this deep longing, desire to be back in community. We're in the middle of a pandemic. What am I going to do? I can't go anywhere. Church is closed. I can't even go see my family members. What am I going to do? I'm on Facebook, and a Crossroads Church ad came up. It was sponsored. So I clicked on the message that was on the Facebook page, and I listened to it, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is pretty neat. This is pretty cool. I think it was in July of 2020 where I kind of wanted to have a little bit more, to be more in community. As I explored, I was really mesmerized just by the work of what Crossroads was doing, that the church members were giving and where that money was going. I loved seeing that Masters of Disaster, you know, went to Texas to help flooding victims, Puerto Rico to capture messages when Crossroads paid medical debt. I started giving financially. It really makes me feel like I'm a part of the community, even though it's online. It's fantastic. And I don't know how else to explain it, but with thanksgiving.